There is one thing that opens the heart of God to sweet communion with you. There is one thing that immediately when it occurs in your heart, your Heavenly Father rushes to meet you. Do you know what that one thing is? It's the prerequisite to all genuine relationship with God. Stay with us and discover what that one thing is.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip shares a plan outlined in Scripture for experiencing true fellowship with God, not just once in a while, but as a normal part of your life. Chip's in his series called Authentic: How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Now, I hope you can stay with us through the end of today's broadcast because Chip wraps up with some specific ways to put what you'll learn into routine practice. If you have a Bible, open it to Proverbs chapter 10, and let's join Chip for part two of his message, One Little Word That Will Change Your Life.
A young man came to me just a few years ago, very, very close friend, came from a tremendous home. Godly young man, involved in ministry, leading worship, teaching the Bible, just led a portion of one of his sports teams to Christ, three or four or five guys. And this guy is, every mom, every dad would say, I would want this kid to be my son. I mean, he is a picture of, quote, a young person in their early 20s really walking with God. And then he started to struggle. His countenance kind of changed. He was always filled with such confidence. Then you could kind of see it happening. And I wondered, what's going on with this kid? Make a very long story short, he was studying one day and a quick blurb came across his computer screen and invited him via the internet to just come to a little site. Just soft porn. No danger. Nothing big. And that led him on a journey. Led him on a journey deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the internet. Into ever-increasing hardcore pornography. And now you got a young man getting up and playing a guitar and talking about Jesus on Sunday and an addiction forming where he told me he would come home and look around and try and figure out when the times when his parents wouldn't be around so he could get on it. And he said it was the only thing he could think about all day. And then the shame and the guilt were overwhelming. And all of a sudden, this kid is getting major psychological problems. Why? He knows what's right and true. He's living in a way that is not just producing intellectual dissonance and emotional dissonance, but spiritual dissonance, this pulling apart of your soul. And I want to tell you that, we've done research and I've read research on some of our, quote, Christian campuses. As many as 30 and 45% of the young men are regular internet users on porn sites. And do you understand what it does to try and sit down at the table and, quote, have family devotions and have this secret hidden in the back? And you know what? It can be the porn over here, or it can be an addiction to soap operas over here, or romance novels over here. It can be vicariously always looking at something or someone. But when you know what is right to do and your life is moving a different direction, you don't like yourself. And when you don't like yourself, you know what you do? You do what I do. You eat. And you're thinking, well, you must like yourself pretty good. No, I have a very high metabolism. And some of us eat. And then did you notice why when you get in the car, you have to turn on the radio real quickly? When you come in the house, you turn on the TV. There always has to be noise. Why is it that in America, food, you get depressed. What do you do? Go to a movie. You don't feel good, go out to eat. Well, if it gets really bad, take a vacation you can't afford. You can charge it. Why? Because if for a half hour or less than half a day, you sit quietly with no noise and you cease striving and you be still, what starts to bubble up? What bubbles up? The conversations that are this direction and the truth that's this direction. The dissonance in a relationship, the unforgiveness that's unaddressed, the little lustful thought that goes by and we keep pressing it down. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out. you see how one little word can change your life? The basis of your relationship with God, integrity, honesty. The basis of a healthy relationship with yourself, you don't have to be perfect, but you've got to be real and authentic. You've got to look in the mirror and say, you know something? I don't have it together, but I'm making progress and I'm accepted in the beloved in Christ. The third relationship that's impossible is with others. What's the command? After we're told who we are in Christ in the first three chapters, but speaking the truth in love, what? We're to grow up into all aspects, who is the head, even Christ, by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, right? How can you love other people unless there is trust? And how can there be trust if what you purport to be and what they purport to be isn't true? The commodity of relationships and relationships that give you and give me the greatest thing on the earth. There are people that have all the money and all the homes and all the stuff. And what are they looking for? Someone to love them unconditionally. That's what I long for. That's what you long for. But if I'm not honest, then I don't have any real relationship. And so we've got a whole generation of people that we look on the front of magazines and TVs and we think, if I wear this and I have this kind of a watch and I have this kind of a suit and I drive this kind of a car and I can live in this kind of a neighborhood, and we image project saying, what? Like me, will you? My hair's this color now. I'm in style now. Hey, I toned up at the gym. Like me, will you? I get good grades. I have letters behind my name. So many people report to me. Have you heard about my 401k? Everyone else went in the tube, but I made a lot of money. And by the way, did you see my new car? And why? What's behind it? What's behind it? What's behind this incessant wanting to impress other people? We so desperately are insecure, we want people's approval. And yet, what? Let me ask you, just between us kind of people here, I don't know, are you drawn to people that appear to have it all together, that are in the latest everything, look just right, seem to be very spiritual, and just like they don't have a problem in the world? Those people intimidate me if I thought it was true. I'm just old enough now to know, pretty good faker. You know who I'm drawn to? I'm drawn to people that I feel like they're honest and real with their struggles. They're making progress. Now, since I know they have a struggle, I'm thinking, now here's someone I can identify with. Aren't you drawn to people that are real and authentic? Not that have it all together. Not that just look a certain way. And aren't the deepest, best relationships you've ever experienced in your life are not necessarily with the prettiest or the most famous or the wealthiest or the most popular, but the person that's real and open and honest. And by the way, it's okay to be pretty and popular, and if God gives you wealth, use it and be a good steward. But you know, we have a culture that says those things make you a someone. And the truth of the matter is, what you know and what I know is they don't. So what do we want? I'm made for relationships. You're made for relationships. I want a deep, intimate relationship with my Creator through the person of Christ. How? Walk in integrity. I want to look in the mirror and say, you know something, Ingram, you got a long way to go, but I like the progress. I like what I see. Yeah, you're struggling here, but you're owning it and you're making progress and you're dealing with that. And you'll always be in a struggle, but putting things behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, press on, Chip, toward the goal, toward the higher calling in Christ Jesus. And to know that as far as I know, there's nothing between me and God. As far as I know, as Paul would say, my conscience is void of offense, both before God and men. You know what? You can put your head on the pillow and say, do I have it together? No way. Am I all the person that I really want to be? No way. But am I the person I used to be? No way. And you have a evaluation that's honest and real and authentic. And that kind of a person, what happens? You get relationships with people. They're real, powerful, and deep, and intimate. And because you're real, then there's trust. And because there's trust, there's love. And when there's love, then you share more and more vulnerably about who you really are. And the more you share who you really are, the more real love you get touched by. Because see, I can put up this little image and get you to think I'm this and that, and if you love this or that, what I know is behind that, this is who I really am. I spent years trying to get good in sports, and those strokes felt like love, but what was? They were just rewarding my performance. And then I figured out how to get good in school. I mean, there's a few techniques. You don't have to be that smart to get A's if you can figure out what they're going to ask on the test. And that's, I was one of those people, I could figure out what they'd ask on the test, and so I could get A's, and ooh, aren't you this? And you know what? I kept feeling empty inside. Because what fills you up is authentic, deep, loving relationships with other human beings. And when you look in their eye and when they look in yours, what you realize is, I'm getting the real thing. And what you know is, they don't have it together, you don't have it together, but you have been covered by the blood of Christ, and you are both forgiven, and you're both on a journey, and you need their help, and they need your help. But apart from integrity, relationships are impossible. The second reason this one little word will change your life, and I want to persuade you to be a man or woman of integrity, is that peace is impossible without integrity. Colossians 3:15, great little passage says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, remembering that as members of one body, you are called to live in harmony, and never forget to be thankful for what God has done for you. Let the peace of Christ rule. That little word rule means act as an arbitrator. The best word picture I can give is let the peace of Christ. You know what I mean by the peace of Christ? I mean, I don't want to just throw this jazz around. You know that sense of the Spirit of God confirming with your spirit that everything's okay? And then when you do something that you know is wrong and you just feel peace is gone. There's dissonance. There's something wrong inside. Track them with me. This word act as an arbitrator is literally like the Holy Spirit is an umpire, and the pitches of life are coming across the plate. And he calls ball, strike, foul. And as I'm up to the plate of life, there's times where, you know what? I'm not supposed to swing at this one, and I swing at it. Ah, strike! And he acts as an arbitrator so that when there are times when I take a bend in the road, even one small that's mentally or in a relationship or something that comes out of my mouth. Have you ever been in a situation, something comes out of your mouth and you realize instantly you've offended and hurt someone, and then as a believer, you just kind of felt the peace go, can I ask you, and this is, I'm not down on you, God's not down on you. Are you avoiding issues in your life with ESPN and food and an occasional drink and maybe some prescription drugs, and maybe a busy, busy, busy lifestyle, and maybe with noise and TV and stereo and hobbies and softball? And are you numbing the Spirit's work in your heart and missing the intimacy that He longs for you because you just won't get quiet enough to realize you don't have peace? And then say, Lord, I know you love me. You died for me. You care for me. Would you be the umpire? Would you show me where we're out of sync? And His desire is not to, you know, pound you. His desire is for you to bring, get that issue to Him. And you say you're sorry and mean it from your heart. He says He understands and Jesus paid for it. And a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, your heavenly Father, you get reconnected. And guess what? Peace. So a lot of people who really don't have weight problems, they have lack of peace problems. There's a lot of people that don't have workaholic problems, they have peace problems. There's a lot of people that are addicted to adrenaline and busyness, and you know what it's about? It's about this issue. You see, he who walks in integrity walks securely, safely. But he who perverts his way will be found out. Number one reason why I want to persuade you to do whatever it takes to be a man, a woman, or a student of integrity is relationships are impossible without integrity. You can't have a relationship with God, yourself, or others. Second, peace is impossible without integrity. And third, impact is impossible without integrity. Impact. God puts you here for a purpose. He wants to use you. He wants to cause your life to rub up against other people's life and you to have a great impact. Impact is impossible without integrity. The verse in your notes, I think it's Proverbs 25:26. Is that right? It says, like a trampled spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. It's a word picture. Like a trampled spring or a polluted well. What do they have in common? A spring and a well both have water, right? And the parallel is, if they get trampled or polluted, it's the same as a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Now, the Near Eastern culture helps you understand this one. Because what would happen is they would have camels and sheep, and they would, if you were lived in a place, you would bring your camels and sheep to a spring, and very delicately, you would take your turn and you would water your animals. But if you weren't from that place and you didn't care about anyone else, you would drive your herds into the spring, let them drink right out of the spring, and the animals would, I don't want to get graphic here, but they would defecate and urinate in the spring as they were drinking, and then you would move them on, and so now you got mud, and now you, water is life. It's life. You have water, life. No water, death. Like a trampled spring, or sometimes a well would be polluted. And what would happen in that day, armies would come through, and how do you wipe out people? They would come through, take a town, pollute the water system, and then move on. Listen carefully. That which was designed to give life, water, from a spring or a well, something occurred in the spring, in the well, so that when people came to find life, instead they received death. So is a righteous man or a righteous woman or a righteous student who gives way before the wicked. This is a cliche I'm just about to say, so, you know, pencil in hand. You don't have to write it down because you've heard it, but it happens to be one that's true. You are the greatest Christian at least one or two people will ever know. Me? Yeah, you. They're your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, your fellow student. And when they see you and they know you are a, quote, Christian, they may outwardly reject you, I've learned. They may say things about you, but when they're going through their divorce, when they get their cancer report and the biopsy comes back positive, when their mate leaves them, and when their child is taken to the juvenile detention center, they will make a path to your door and say, you do the praying stuff, don't you? And the Jesus guy who does the miracles, and I see you go to church. And what I want you to know is that if your words say one thing and they see your lifestyle not matching up, you become like a trampled spring or a polluted well. And they came to find life. And instead they see hypocrisy. And you're saying, that's pretty strong. You bet it's strong. It is one of the most motivating little passages in all of Scripture for living a life of integrity. You have the potential to bring life, or you have potential to spiritually sabotage other people seeking life. I grew up in a church where I watched it happen. By the time I was 16, I left the church. By the time I was 17, I didn't know if God existed. And nearly before I was 18, I decided if God existed and he's like the people in this church, I don't want to get to know him anyway. It should have been a source of life. And my challenge is, do you need to be perfect? No. My challenge is, he who walks in integrity walks securely. Ask God, in the next minute or two as we close, ask God, is there any part of my life that, as this guy's been talking and as he's shared these verses, has the Holy Spirit pinpointed and said, you know something? I'm not living the way I know I need to live. My words and my actions don't tell the same story. I say I believe this, but my priorities are out of whack. I say I love people, but I've got bitterness in my heart, or I've got an unforgiving spirit, or I've got an issue with someone at work, or I say I love God with all my heart, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I can't remember the last time I even read his commandments, let alone kept them. I say I care about people, and I often say, oh yeah, we'll pray for you, I'll pray for you, and your prayer life basically is the 3.5 minutes on the freeway to work. And for some of us, you got to call just a royal timeout and say, God, I'm done with that kind of life. I'll never be perfect, but I need to press on toward the upward calling. I need to be a man of God. I need to be a woman of God. I need to be a student who authentically lives it out. And I'm going to own whatever you show me. I'm going to bring it to the cross tonight and ask for forgiveness. And then I'm going to ask for the grace and the power tonight so that I live a life of integrity. At the very bottom of your notes, there's a summary of this message. It says, honesty breeds at-homeness with God. I like that. When you're honest, it breeds at-homeness with God. And then notice the parallel. Dishonesty destines us to disgrace.
Chip will be back in just a minute with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today, One Little Word That Will Change Your Life, is from his series, Authentic, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Being a Christian who lives like a Christian, one person, one family, one church, one community at a time, is how you can make an authentic difference in your world. This powerful series is available in a couple of audio formats, and for a limited time, the MP3s are absolutely free. Why not get a set for yourself? Or send them to a friend who could benefit from a fresh perspective on how to live the Christian life without getting caught up in all kinds of religious activity. For complete pricing and ordering information, go to livingontheedge.org, or we'd be happy to have you call us at 1-888-333-6003. Chip, you talk so often about doing life in community, where other believers will speak truth into our lives. And I've heard you say that having a mentor is another great way to make progress. Now, if someone said, hey, Chip, would you mentor me? What would you actually do, and how would that help them become a more authentic follower of Jesus?
Well, Dave, I have to tell you, a lot of people ask me that, and, you know, I'll get an email or we get letters and, you know, people I've never heard of, and they say, will you mentor me? And I'm thinking, you know, I would love to do something like that, but, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
And in fact, one of the joys of having a broadcast or getting to write a book is that you get to mentor people that you'll never meet. In fact, the people that have mentored me, I bet over half of them are dead. It is through their books that I've studied. Because what we've learned is that when you really want to become an authentic follower is that someone has already blazed the trail. And so as we talk about this series, I wrote a book called Good to Great in God's Eyes, The 10 Practices That Great Christians Have in Common. And then out of that grew a small group study and then, of course, MP3s and lots of other ways. But I have done a lot of mentoring in the church that I pastored, and I've done a lot of mentoring of individuals. And I literally say, okay, you really are serious about being an authentic follower, and people will say, yes, absolutely, then I'll give them this book, or I give them the videos or the, you know, the audios. I try and figure out how do people learn and give it to them in the way they get it best. And then I say, I want you to listen to this or read this, and I want you to make some notes, and then let's get together and discuss where and how you're putting this into practice, and I'll share where I'm at on my journey. And so we walk through, you know, reading great books and praying great prayers and pursuing great people. And one of the ones I love is dreaming great dreams. One that always shocks people is developing great habits, is that so often we think there's this mystical magic bullet out there, and yet it's the grace of God over time in His Word, in the community of God's people, where we're honest with one another, where the Spirit of God progressively transforms us. This is a journey. And when we talk about being authentic, what we wanted to do was help you have a resource in whatever way it helps you most to literally practice the things that all great Christians have in common. It's called Good to Great in God's Eyes. Why don't you take the initiative, get a handful of people, and get after it?
Good to Great in God's Eyes is a great resource to help you become the authentic follower of Jesus you want to be. So while Authentic is on the air, we're discounting the entire set of series resources for Good to Great in God's Eyes as well. To order or preview the video resources for a small group, you'll find everything you're looking for online at livingontheedge.org.
Well, Chip, thinking about your message today, when we're honest, we know the choices we're making don't always align with a life of integrity. So what would you recommend as a next step toward that kind of life alignment?
Well, maybe by way of review, Dave, it's just, here's what we learned, is that honesty breeds at-homeness with God, and dishonesty destines us to disgrace.
Right.
And so the question I think we need to ask ourselves is, where is God speaking to you right now? You know, where in your life is there some discrepancy where your life and your words, just, they're not adding up? And let's just call it what it is. You know, sometimes I think we get so uptight. Okay, it's sin. It's wrong. It's hypocrisy. You kind of just say it out loud. We all struggle with this. Take off the mask with God. Bring it before Him honestly. And when you do, I think you'll see. You'll meet a God that wants to love and to forgive. And then the second thing I would say is that, you know, when this has impacted other people, just own it. It's painful. It's difficult. Apologize. You know, I said this or I gave this impression. It wasn't really true. And I will tell you that people will respect you far more because people long to meet people that have genuine integrity. So, you know what? Ask God to show you. And then go for it. In fact, right now, Father, would you help everyone listening to my voice to walk in integrity? In Jesus' name, amen.
Just before we close, we want you to know that as a staff, we ask the Lord to help this teaching strengthen your faith. And we ask Him to help you confidently take whatever your next faith step is. So we'd love to hear how it's going. Would you take a minute to send us a note or give us a call? Either one is easy. Just send a quick note to chip@livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.